It started from the one microphone.
Yep.
Which we always talk about. It was very awkward. So when we had someone over the phone, we had one microphone for Justin and myself to share, and then the phone on speakerphone up to the mic.
We only bumped heads once.
Yeah.
Hello, and welcome to the Daktronics Experience Podcast. I'm Justin Oxner, here with Matt Anderson. Today, we're joined by Jessa Pace. We are doing a role reversal. She is the brains behind this operation, the executive producer, and on our one-year anniversary, she's going to interview Matt and I to get some insight into your Daktronics Experience Podcast hosts.
Well, hi, guys. This is Jessa Pace. I'm here to welcome Matt Anderson and Justin Oxner for the first time. Does it feel weird to be welcomed onto your own podcast, guys?
A little bit, yeah. It's different being on the other side of this.
Different but fun.
Good. Yeah,
so far.
Good. Well, we've got you both here today because this is a very special anniversary episode. It's been 1 year. Marks 1 year for the Daktronics Experience Podcast.
Wow.
It's very exciting.
It's been
No one's pulled the plug on you guys for a whole year.
Thankfully.
Pretty Thanks. Monumental.
Yeah.
We've gotten some feedback that our viewers want to hear more about the two of you. So
uh-huh.
I'm not exactly sure why, but we'll give the people what they want.
I understand if they want to learn more about Matt, but yeah.
I kind of just want to dive in with your backgrounds, your beginnings here at Daktronics, or, what led you into marketing in the first place. So, Justin, do you want to?
We're going to start with Matt. He actually started at Daktronics before I did by about 3 months.
I was going to say, it wasn't by much, though.
3 months.
Yeah. So it all started a long time ago. It was about 13 years ago.
Almost.
Oh, 13 years ago in January of 2020. So I went to school at Northern State University in Aberdeen and heard about the Daktronics sales internship from others that I knew at Northern that had already done it. And then they did some recruiting visits up there that I attended to as well. And I made the joke on an earlier podcast, so it was, what brought me to the one training session was Frank Kurtenbach was there and they offered free pizza, right? If you're in college, there's nothing more like free food or free pizza to dangle a carrot in front of you to go to.
Yep.
So I went there, was really interested in it. And then I had graduated in December from Northern I majored in MIS and marketing. And so then I graduated in December of 06 and then started the sales internship that January. So moved to Brookings. First time ever in Brookings. I'd never really been here before at all. So I did the sales internship, and then I left about a month early of the internship because I'd already graduated and got a full-time position as a control systems marketing. It was part control systems, part competitor analysis at the time, and then kind of just morphed more and more into control system product marketing. So it was a lot of tech specs, helping with RFPs, training of anything from like our players, processor, software. And I was even involved show control when it first started coming out too, and having to be the person to organize all the demos and webinars we did to start introducing it to the market to let people know about it. So I did that for a while. And then I can't remember how this, it's kind of emerging. So I picked up helping out what we called our mobile and modular market.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where we have displays like rental staging companies, their temporary displays. We set up, tear them down at different events. So I helped out with marketing for that for a while. And then it slowly kind of morphed into helping out with colleges. And so I started helping a lot with college marketing, which is kind of where I am at now, and I do that. But there's a whole bunch of other like little niches we always say that I've helped out marketing with too. There's been cruise ships, large churches has been one, rodeo has been another one, motorsports. But colleges and universities is a large market at Daktronics, so it takes up a majority of the time. And then now I also help out with social media for Daktronics as well with Justin over here and some others on our team. And then this podcast, which we're talking about today, started up about a year ago.
Yeah.
I mean, we started talking about this more than a year ago, but to get it going and everything. So how about that? And then I also supervise our sales interns now. I've been doing that for about 2 years. Really enjoying that. So it's kind of cool how that's come full circle for being a sales intern now and now kind of helping them develop too as interns. So is that too much? Is that more than what you want to know?
No, that was good.
Yeah, I think it was a good story. You just kind of took it and ran with it. Now everybody knows how Matt's evolved to Daktronics.
Those are the highlights.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, what about you, Justin?
I was looking for jobs after I did my internship in Washington, D.C., and I came back to South Dakota. I was looking for jobs. I was unemployed for about 3 months, and my dad actually suggested I apply at Daktronics. He had worked at Daktronics in the 70s for a couple, I don't know, it was probably only 6 or 7 months that he worked here as a draftsman, but he knew that they were right here, and he told me to check it out, and I had the unrealistic perspective that Daktronics was only manufacturing, and I didn't want to work on a manufacturing floor. But I took his advice, looked at the website, and looked at different job opportunities, and there was plenty of different marketing openings. And I had majored in advertising in college, and I was looking for something that did some sort of marketing. And my internship prior to that, I did some PR work. So I applied, and it was actually for a corporate communications posting, and there was another opening in Keyframe, mm-hmm. which is the creative services division now, and I was hired for that role to do news releases and actually help do marketing to promote that specific area of the business. So I was there for about 4 years before we transitioned into the live events marketing group, and with that, there were some changes in personnel, and they needed somebody to do news releases for large sports venues and international and spectaculars. And then I took that role over. And with that role, I had done some social media stuff in Keyframe and helped transition Keyframe to creative services. So I took over some of the social media responsibility probably about 2012, maybe 2011, when we started actually doing more social posts. At the time, we could look back. We did a feature called The Weekend Watch. And I could look back through and in 2012, there was probably months that had gone by with that being the only thing that Daktronics posted on social media. Before Matt came along here and started helping with social media, we actually, when you came along, we made a more concerted effort to do social media for Daktronics, and we broadened what we started posting, and now we've got plenty of software to help us do that, and we post plenty of different times a week.
I was going to say, because you were involved in the groups when they were just setting up the accounts even, right? Like that was way before I got involved.
We were setting up the accounts. We were looking at what softwares to use at the time. I was involved in all of that just because of my focus on Keyframe and doing it for them. Then with social media and news releases, then we opened up a blog and we started that. And I've kind of taken over some control of that. I would say some overseeing it to make sure that we're posting and scheduling and things mm-hmm. like that. And then the podcast came along as well. So been doing that for about a year now, yeah.
Thinking about social media back in the day too, because I think I started with that was there was the sports user group because I was mm-hmm. in control systems marketing at the time. So we had a private group of users, of customers essentially that were control room operators. And then we kind of transitioned over that. But that's how I was in social media for a while. But I remember it was like when Facebook was getting really popular, and it was strict access. So I remember, like, it was even, you know, joking around our IT department, it was, I had to go onto Facebook to make posts in that group.
Oh, yeah.
But you'd be dinged on it because you're not supposed to be on Facebook at work. I think it was before, like, social media marketing was really that mm-hmm. big of a thing, and it was okay to do it at work. So I remember there's always, like, these reports that got generated, like, how many times Matt was on violating errors or something like that. But then it would go to, you know, at the time, I think it was like even some of our upper management saw, like, yeah, that's fine. We're asking Matt to post these things, but mm-hmm. it was just an automated thing that kept happening.
Yeah, back then you had to get the special permission to have access to that stuff. Yep. And I had to get permission to be on YouTube as well because I was uploading videos for the Keyframe Creative Services team, all their animations and highlight reels and things like that. So it's like you were given free rein out of the gate, but then you kind of knew other people were getting dinged because they were on these sites. But then you look at it and say, wow, that's actually my job to be on these mm-hmm. sites. So yeah, that was definitely an evolution at Daktronics.
It's so different now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, around here, we kind of know you, Justin, as the PR guy, mm-hmm. Matt, college guy. I feel like that's sort of like what rings in my head. But really, I mean, you guys are talking about it so much broader than that. Really.
Yeah, and I'm a writer by trade, so I do a lot of writing for the group, whether it's news stories, PR, proposal writing, any text that comes through, I review. People use me to review a lot of that for their blog posts, email sends, check for grammar and stuff like that. So a lot of different hats that we wear. We're Swiss Army knives, right?
You just send you a blog post, ask for your thoughts, and I believe your reply back with the edits is, there, I fixed it. It's usually what you tell me about it.
But, every once in a while, that's what I'd say. But for the most part, it's just cleaning up the grammar. Your thoughts are all there. It's taking it from how you would say it and the repetitions of what you would naturally say in your speech and bringing it into a piece that can be consumed easily while reading.
Yeah. And then with college stuff, I think it kind of helps because it branches in different areas, right? Like we work together, Jessa, for like you helping out with services, because even with our latest thing we've done where there's colleges use a lot of our event production services. So it can be colleges, but there's also branch overs into other members in our group, which is kind of nice. And then I think what's nice about DAC, though, is there's always room for growth in different areas that people don't think about. So no one told us to start a podcast. Right. It was an idea we had that we can talk about later, but it's just, so then we branched off and did that. Social media, we started doing, but we kind of took that, ran with it.
Yep.
So sometimes there's areas that if it interests you, you can still dive into that.
Right.
And I don't know, that freedom is something that I like a lot. So.
Yeah.
Definitely. So thinking about your roles now, what's sort of a highlight of that for you guys? I mean, there's a lot of different things going on, but what's sort of your favorite part or something that you look forward to coming to the office?
You want to take? I got a couple different ideas.
What do I look forward to coming into the office every day?
Yeah.
Like,
what's your favorite part?
That's one thing that I will say is I've never dreaded coming to work. I mean, it's been almost 13 years, and I don't know that I've woken up and said, "Oh man, I actually have to go to work today."
Yeah.
I mean, I think people have that from time to time where they're like, "I just don't feel like working," but I've never had the fear of like, "I have to do this every day again," and mm-hmm. I don't like it. I've never had that happen. So coming to work for me has never been a detractor, something that I'm worried about actually having to do. What I do like about my job is, I would say the promotional aspect of it. I like promoting the projects we've won, the great things that we've done, things that we've heard from our customers, anything that can be public facing to promote our company and put them in a good light. I actually enjoy that, whether that's PR, whether that's social media, whether that's a podcast or even going on site for PR events to say, hey, we're unveiling this new display at the Texas Rangers was the most recent one I was at. And we went there and we had a guy on site talking about the project and things like that and helping coordinate all of that to help promote Daktronics. I like that aspect of it in any way.
I think about just marketing in general here. There's sometimes where, you know, marketing, whatever your company puts out may not be, you know, as cool or attention grabbing, but we make a lot of really cool things here, so that makes marketing a lot more fun. I mean, I'm a sports fan, so you combine like marketing and sports together, that's awesome. I love doing it. So I love talking to customers. If we get the chance to go out on site and meet with a customer, talk about it, see how they use displays, I love that part of it. But I mean, on this podcast, we've talked to billboard owners, minor league teams. So there's like finding out different areas of Daktronics and how they use our products is always still cool and fun. I don't ever find it hard to market the stuff we do here because it's so cool.
Right.
And then the other area that I like, though, is since taking over for the internship supervision, when seeing them grow from like when they first start to where they're at now, and if they get, you know, a full-time job hopefully at the end of it, I like seeing that a lot because it's such a change you can see in each one of them from when they start to where they end. So that's kind of been something lately that I've enjoyed seeing as well. But
very cool.
I didn't mean to get too mushy on you there, but
no, it was good.
It's the people.
So bringing it back to the podcast then, I mean, like we said, it's been a year, over 40 episodes now. So I've talked to a lot of people this
crazy.
Year. That's awesome. So what's been your favorite episode? Or maybe we need to narrow it down to a couple. I don't know if you guys.
Do you have one right off the top of your head? I got a couple.
Right off the top of my head, and it's going to be a recent one. The one we did with Lane talking about 4K versus HDR. I found that one interesting, and Lane was actually hilarious to talk to and made for a fun interview. So that's one right off the top of my head. Yep. So they're just packing pixels in there, and the more pixels you have, the more colors you have to make levels of imagery.
You don't have more colors. You just have more pixels generating those colors.
Right.
And that's interesting that you bring that up because that would be a nice segue to talk about HDR.
Don't give him too much credit. He didn't plan on that being a segue, Lane. So
we don't make mistakes. We make happy little accidents.
Okay,
here,
Bob
Matt.
Ross. Yeah.
And of course, I can always go back to the most listened to episode where we interviewed Scott Jenkins of Mercedes-Benz Stadium ahead of them hosting the Super Bowl last year.
And then you enter the building, and then there's an area there we call the overlook, and you walk up there and people's jaw just drops and their eyes are just huge looking at this beautiful stadium. Spectacular view of the building, but the visuals bring it to life with that halo board, the ribbon boards. We call it the feather wall board, which is a triangular shaped board that's right near the overlook, and then behind you that 100-foot mega column that's wrapped in video. It really just brings the building to life.
I mean, that's obviously a highlight. It was great timing. We were talking, that was the first customer we had on, so we started slow and went with the guy that's the head of the largest installation we've ever done. And
before one of the largest sporting events there is.
Yeah. So, of course, that's a highlight that sticks out in my mind as well.
Yeah. That was one of them, was the Scott Jenkins one, just because it was, like you said, our first customer is very timely. So I don't have to give credit to Steve too much for helping set that up than I have to, but...
Steve Schreiber.
Steve Schreiber, yeah.
Our marketing guy for professional sports.
Yep. So he helped set that up. That was really good. But Scott was super nice in that episode. Like he was for being right before them hosting the Super Bowl, it should be a high stressed moment. Mm-hmm. And for him to take time out to talk to us for a podcast episode. And he had some of the nicest things to say. It was a very easy conversation. So business wise, I think of that one. But then if we're talking about fun wise, I think it's when the safety guys were in here.
Oh yeah, that was a good one.
That was a lot of fun.
People ask me sometimes what I do. Well, if you watch me during the day, it looks like I walk around and talk a lot. And people say, well, I'd like your job. I said, I don't think you can handle my job. It takes a lot out of you because you're busy nonstop.
Yeah.
It's from the time you get here till the time you go home. You don't walk anywhere through the factory, but you're not going to see something. Or people come up and approach us. That's the other thing that we didn't touch on. As a safety department, we feel good when our employees feel free to come up and talk to us. We're doing our job when we know that they'll stop us and say, hey, we saw this, or what do you think about that? And we just smile because we like to say, that's our job. That's what we do. And we walk around and talk to people and we help them.
It was
Joel, Scott,
Albert.
Yeah, when those three guys came in here, because I've worked with some of them for internship safety requirements. And they are really funny people. So I was hoping it came through on the podcast episode when they were here, and I think it did. I wish we would have one more microphone. We only had a couple for them to have, and there's three of them in the room here with us. But no, it was really cool, and they were a lot of fun to have on.
Yeah, you think safety, and they're going to be straight-laced, and you got to follow these rules. But they have great personalities about it, too, and they're very realistic about it, and they have fun with it. And they enjoy what they do as well. And I think that really came through in that episode.
Yep. I think a side benefit from the podcasting, though, is we've had a fair amount of internal people here at Daktronics, right?
Yes.
From a variety of different areas.
Engineering.
So we joke about, like, you know, Matt learned some stuff at the end of the episode, but it's but it's true. Like, you learn so much about the different areas at Daktronics. And I heard one of my interns had said, too, that they like listening to all of them because they didn't know about, like, event production or what goes into, like, hoists and stuff like that. So there's a lot of times where it's even just, I don't know, a side benefit or bonus kind of is just you get to hear about all the different areas of Daktronics.
And
we get to learn about it firsthand.
Right. So. I was just going to say, like, we joke about, oh, Matt learned about this, but we both learn a lot in a lot of these episodes that we do. It's great to hear it firsthand and to be able to share it with everybody else, too, because there's a lot that goes on and there's so many different areas that we both learn a lot and we hope other people do, too.
Yep. I'm a curious person by nature, so I like asking a lot of questions, even though I know some of them are really dumb ones, but I still like to ask them anyway.
So yeah, those are our favorite episodes. What's your favorite episode, Jessa?
You know, I think my favorite episode from the last year was with Mike Dusnap. He was here in Brookings for the user group, and I think it was one of the very first in-person podcast interviews. Yep. And
in
so,
the new studio.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
We really opened things up with our rundown this year. We created flex breaks, which allowed us to kind of scratch an entire break, and we call it make it a party. So if we score a touchdown, you know, certainly keeping that energy in the stadium, and then just giving fans what they want. You know, if they're at the game, they can't see highlights from around the league. So we really push around the league highlights. We have a person in the control room, a host, basically, and she's with another producer, and they're basically cutting together red zone highlights.
Okay.
We'll cut to that throughout the game, and again, really kind of giving fans what they want.
And because I just vividly remember running back and forth between IT and the recording room with different individuals trying to make sure we could get three mics to work.
Oh, that's right.
before he came in here. And so, and then sitting in here and just listening to everything that was going on with the Bucks. And it was just, really interesting interview. And so It all worked out.
Yeah, that worked out, didn't it? The one episode where I wasn't here, Jess was like, that's my favorite.
Notice how she said her favorite episode is when I single-handedly hosted.
Yeah. And surprisingly, didn't go up in flames.
Yeah. She didn't even know why it was the best one, but there's a reason.
Thanks.
Sorry, Justin. So you guys touched a little bit on, you know, you're the first customer that you interviewed, you had on the podcast and sort of the beginnings. I know personally that you had some, you know, struggles with technology in the beginning and sort of like figuring things out and figuring how you were going to put this all together. Do you guys want to touch on that?
Yeah, I'll take it back to the inception of this. We probably started thinking about doing a podcast 6 months before it happened.
Yeah.
And we even recorded it a horrible first episode that never saw the light of day.
I need to listen to this
episode.
Yeah,
it never made it.
I don't know if we even kept the recording.
You call it the not the beta, but it's the pilot.
The pilot
episode. It's like a pilot episode we did, yeah.
That never aired.
We thought it was cool, but now looking back on it, that was garbage. Well,
and it was kind of the idea we had to start. It was like, you know, even if we just did this once a month and we talked about the news that we put out in that past month, just to share that news in a different way, that could be our bare minimum bar and a reason to start this podcast. And we thought about that, and we didn't interview anybody. We brought up a list of 6 or 7 news releases that we'd put out, and we took turns reading through them as we recorded.
That's right.
And I don't know if either of us listened back through it all the way through, because it really wasn't.
I don't know where it exists, though. Do you even know where it exists?
No, I don't know where the recording is, so sorry, you might not be able to hear that.
Yeah.
But that was the idea, and 6 months, we finally brought it up to a level of let's start actually interviewing people. Mm-hmm. And Jessa came on as our executive producer to help line up so many interviews and do a lot of the background work to help get this going. That then we started off with one microphone and one computer in the Daktronics Training Center recording studio, right? Yep. And that's where we recorded. We'd share one microphone.
And I think it was a combination of, too, when we're starting out, it was, you know, we had to convince some people that we can do this because
you
know, we're a big company. So doing something like this, putting our name on it, our logo on it, is kind of a big deal. So we had to plan it out very thoroughly as to what we were going to do. Mm-hmm. But then I would say the optimism or the enthusiasm from other people.
Right.
Because apparently a lot of people listen to podcasts. So whenever we brought this up, we got a lot of the same, oh, I love podcasts. And it's like, sweet, most people do. So when we started, though, we had people in IT, everyone, when we were looking to come into this recording studio, that went above and beyond just to help us get this all set up.
Yeah, we had a lot of help.
Yeah, because they were just excited about us doing it, doing a Daktronics podcast in general. So it started from the one microphone, which we always talk about. It was very awkward. So when we had someone over the phone, we had one microphone for Justin and myself to share, and then the phone on speakerphone up to the mic.
So the mic was recording the person on the phone through the speaker.
And so it took about one or two of those times where we can't be doing this. That's really awkward. Like, because we wanted to be conversational in the flow. So we met with our IT group and everyone too, and they just said, yeah, well, let's work on getting you guys set up. And so we expansion, but it's like we got a table, they helped get a couple more microphones, a recording box. We worked with them on being able to, you know, use one of their laptops to set up.
And it was crucial to get more than one microphone because Matt and I would lean in towards the mic sometimes at the same time and back away and cause some awkward pauses.
Yes.
We only bumped heads once.
Yeah, it was weird.
But to avoid things like that and to make this a little more professional, so to speak, having our own microphones and our own headsets so we can hear ourselves and make a better quality. Because we even heard that feedback after the first five, 6 episodes that a customer actually talked to one of our sales guys and said, hey, I'm listening to your podcast, but you guys need to get some better microphones. You need some better audio. And it was mainly holding that phone up on speakerphone to the one mic that we had in the studio.
Yep. So we ended up getting, you know, better microphones. We got headsets so we can actually hear how loud we are. And then, we got a cord to hook into our phones now, the hook right into the recording box so that it could take the audio quality a lot better when people call in. So it's just, it has evolved a lot because it starts out, it's a simple idea of just talking in a recording device and putting it out there. Mm-hmm. Then it's turned into this, like, how do we make sure this part's better? We have pre-calls now that Jessa, you help out a lot with to make sure we're on the same page with our guests. You know, there's a whole bunch more what we use to record this with, getting comfortable with that software.
Went
to
through.
Edit it, to post it. So it's been a growing process, but I think we're in like a good rhythm right now, and it works really well.
it took us, what, three different computers before we got the mics all working with them and recording multiple tracks instead of one mic works, but the other doesn't, or you just get the left ear and not the right ear, which if you're listening on headphones, that's going to sound really weird.
It's going to sound really weird.
So we learned as we went, but I think that's something that was great is we just started. Mm-hmm. We didn't let the fear of it not being perfect right away hold us back.
Yep.
We said, we've got to just start. And by starting, we got more buy-in, which helped us get better quality gear to actually produce this podcast.
Yeah.
But like you said, that's the beauty of your job here. You have the freedom to delve into that, you know, some of those interests and things like that. So
yeah. And it's we've utilized it a lot more each episode.
Thank you for saying utilize.
Justin's favorite word. Mm-hmm. But we'll take some of these really good episodes, right, and we transcribe them. And we could turn them into blog posts, right? So then the idea is that we get a good customer on or a good employee on to talk about something. We get the most out of that.
Right.
By putting it out an episode, by putting out a blog post. Each one of those gets a social media post with it. Sometimes we'll grab quotes out of them from customers and use those in different areas. So I think you start with just an audio recording, but we can use it in all these different areas
too. And we're recording at a close time. It is a content turkey.
And I almost thought about carving it up, that.
You know?
Yeah, yeah, well, we are.
Yeah, you just carve up that turkey and use it in multiple different ways.
Yep. This one, I don't know if we will, but most of them, yes. This episode.
Yeah, this one might be iffy. Yeah.
Have some confidence, you know? There, guys. Yeah.
So what's next for the podcast? I mean, you've had a really good year, had a lot of great people on to interview, but what are you most looking forward to about next year, changes or anything like that?
I'll jump in right away. I think we want to get more customers on the podcast and talk to more customers that are either using our products or just install their products. And it could be any focus from what they're using and how they're using it to hear more from our customers.
Yeah, customers is one. And then I have the vision of it happening sometime, but I'm not sure how much everyone's going to like it. But to take it on the go sometimes. So there's different points for marketing where we go and visit with customers. Most of them ends up being when they got a new install stuff to see how it's going. But to be able to record someone out at their site on a podcast or something would be really cool to do too. So I know they told us when we were setting all this up, you know, they got us all the equipment here in the recording room. Now don't take and run with it because they don't want us to just take it to a conference room and do it. But it'd be cool to come up with some kind of mobile solution because I wouldn't plan on taking all of this. Like, if there's some kind of travel solution or something like that. To bring on as well, but yeah, I think that'd be my main one.
Right.
Customers is a good one too, I guess.
Right, and I think that's something we want to keep regular. We want to keep posting these once a week, and in a year, I don't think we've run out of content. That's one thing that's been great too. Is there's been plenty of different things to talk about, whether it's timely things or other interesting thoughts that we always want to share with our employees and our customers and things like that.
That's one thing I don't think people realize. There's so much going on here.
Oh, yeah.
That there should never really be a shortage of what to talk about.
Right.
But I would also say it's a big part of Jessa because we would scramble for ideas. There was a period of time where Jessa wasn't here. I think you had a kid.
Yeah.
So we tried to we stocked up on acorns for the winter, like a squirrel sucking up. And we're like, can we please get eight of these recorded before you leave? But, and I think there's towards the end of that, it got really slim before she came back. But you help out a ton with these and making sure we stay on schedule, we're recording them and all that stuff. So I think we've got better equipment since we started a year ago, but I think we've all gotten better at it. I think even us asking questions, how we plan things out and outline them. I think when you think of the very first time we did that versus now, not just technology wise, but it's gotten a lot better.
Yeah, just the entire process has gotten better.
Yeah, and we talk to a customer, and it's awesome conversation. We get done with that episode, and they like it. That's an awesome feeling. That was a positive interaction we just had with a customer, and I don't know. I love that.
Yeah, it's a good feeling, and we want to do that more. Talk to more customers and keep sharing their stories as well.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm definitely looking forward to more customers in the coming year and possibly taking it on the go because I've had a great time with this as well and listening to all of your conversations and being at the table today versus the corner that you guys usually have me at when I come in here and listen to one. So thank you for letting me sit at the table with you today.
Yeah. You know, next time,
a fun change.
Jessa. We got to interview, like, we got to get Jessa's origin story for another episode.
Well, I think we've got a really, really full backlog of guests. So, that one might be down the road.
You could be that special guest that's always here whenever we're interviewing somebody. You could always have a seat at the table, Jessa.
Perfect. Thank you, guys. I appreciate that. Well, thanks for coming on today and giving us a little background about yourself. That was a lot of fun. And congratulations on the first anniversary of the Daktronics Experience, guys.
Yeah.
Thanks, Jessa.
Thank you for listening to the Daktronics Experience podcast. For more information, visit www.daktronics.com.